My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
All right, let's go. Good morning with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. The boys Jason Smith and John Martin. And our man, Brad Carson, executive producer, program director around here. Y'all know how we do things. You know, there's still a lot to talk about, but it maybe not the fire that it's felt like has raged the last couple of days with all the news coming out and the firings from over at Memphis, obviously. And I'll tell you what, listen to a little Ed Scott today on the Jeff Calkins Show. Oh, that was a smooth listen. Really was. And Ed Scott answered some questions that I think were unanswered. We certainly appreciate that. We'll talk about that today. I know one thing. That was a great, great NFL football game last night. My gosh, the season opener, the kickoff, lived up to the hype. Went all the way down to the last play of regulation, I suppose it did. And let me tell you something. I got a brother. I got somebody that looks out for me. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? The kind of guy you would want to work with every day. The kind of guy that's got your back. The kind of guy that you'll never have to worry about having to fire. You know what I'm saying? Because you need him. He helps make you better. And sometimes he sets aside everything he's got going on to help you. Right? And last night, that was John Martin. Because your boy Smooth found out he had some bonus play on the old FanDuel account. You know who I went to? My brother.
Well, you know what they say, right? They say like the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Yeah.
You know when
does that apply?
Well, it kind of does because
I did reach out.
Well, no, I'm not talking about to me. We vocalized that we were not happy about FanDuel giving Jeff a bonus bet, but not us. And
I like how you're saying us.
Yeah, we were. It was a team
last night.
That's
what it felt like last night.
It was a team last night.
He was with me.
And so I said, you know what, man? Because I know, you know, you like to have fun, and it's not the way I would necessarily bet. But I said, you know what? I know how you want to attack this.
And how's that?
So you want the big payout for the little money, you know? That's what you're looking
at. That's about right.
So I was like, all right, let me.
He's got me simplified, but he's right.
But, you know, I mean, because, you know, Chiefs spread, I was like, eh, you know, $20 when you 15, you know.
Yeah.
It just wasn't really.
You thought it through for me.
I was like, how can we really juice this up a little bit?
And we have a smoothie.
We both like Chiefs side in that game. I said, you know what, Pacheco's, you know, plus 110 or whatever it was to score a touchdown, Chernoff mentioned it on the show, why don't we just roll with it? So, Chiefs money line.
We did it together.
Isaiah Pacheco to score a touchdown, and damn it, he did it.
He did.
And the Chiefs win by a toe.
You had to sweat it out with me.
Yes, I love it. I love it. And you hated every minute. You don't like sweating out games. I will say that was
last time I did this was last September.
Right. And when you text me, you were like, can't get a damn one more stop. You were hating every minute of it.
Yes, it wasn't, it wasn't even my money.
Dude, I feel like every game I bet, it's down to something like that.
I can bet $5 free bucks, and intense.
Well, yeah,
so I appreciated you coming along for the ride, and frankly, leading the ride.
You must have taken a respite during the game because you didn't know Pacheco scored a touchdown.
I was having to move out. You know the deal.
Yeah.
You got son tucking in, all that stuff.
Right.
Wife's got chores for you.
Yep.
You're trying to get away. Up and down.
Absolutely.
So I did my first, I was getting back downstairs when you notified me.
Yeah. So
that Pacheco had gotten in.
It was kind of crazy.
Good day for him.
They almost called forward progress, but he kept on pushing. He kept on chugging.
He never stops. He never stops. He's a madman.
Chiefs.
Offense looked good.
Again, it was a great game, but they find a way to hold on at home against Lamar and the Ravens. Lots to get to on that note. Anthony Tang going to join us here in studio at around 11:25 or so. We'll talk to him about this weekend, Memphis sports, GG's injury, and more in studio. Then at 1:25, Dan Williams, Mr. Dan Williams, former Tennessee Vol, East High School Mustang, Arizona Cardinal.
He's got a big win this past weekend.
Oakland Raider. So we will talk to him. He'll be in studio. He's actually launching an initiative or has launched an initiative here locally. So he'll talk to us about that. Obviously appreciate the fact that, a former NFL guy still hanging out and living in Memphis, and trying to do better for the community. So
maybe get his take on the sorry Raiders.
We'll learn about
state
that.
Of the Raiders and
yes.
The NFL at large, maybe a question or two about
exactly
how bad your franchise is.
Dan does, in fact, once again, have a black quarterback in fantasy.
I don't know.
There are others, though.
When are you going to get past race?
I'm just saying, it's his thing.
Because, again,
every year, even before it was cool, he always had a black QB.
Well, when did it become cool?
Like, I don't know, probably like 2021.
When are you going to get past it?
I'm just saying, it's just noticeable.
Now, when you take a QB,
it's just noticeable.
There's a very good chance he's going to be black, John.
That's true, but I'm just saying, like, in 2021, you had a lot more diversity at the position than we do today.
Yeah, Dan was taking Vince Evans back in the day.
Yeah, bro.
Back in the day.
Bro, he was taking Quincy Carter.
Cordell.
Cordell Stewart was way high on Dan's board.
He has a longer history.
He just needs to address it publicly. That's all. But
what I would tell you now is that is today. That you're going to have to 2024.
Well, how about
who's your quarterback?
Burrow. I got Mahomes, and I have regretted. I mean, what the hell are we doing?
Well, you've tried to make him white every year.
He did have the reception, which I appreciate. But other than that, man, he struggled last night. I don't know what the hell was going on.
He threw for 290, didn't he?
Yeah, but he had a pick. I mean, the only reason he had a touchdown is because there was busted coverage.
I think that's a different offense. I'm with you. He didn't play to his best. Certainly, his standard.
Right.
That offense is much more high octane.
I'm hopeful.
There's much more potential.
I'm hopeful over the course of the season.
Explosiveness.
Josh Allen is a great one. So, anyway, we'll talk to Dan Williams about all of that.
Yeah, you got a few left.
I also want to talk to him about the new formation rules that they're enforcing on the offensive line.
Yeah, I still don't get it.
Roddy Stanley just actually 5 minutes ago picked up another one. He got called for another one. He was just walking into the facility. He got another flag for illegal formation.
Well, we're struggling with it.
Yeah, so I want to get his thoughts as a defensive lineman if he thinks it's a good enforcing. Obviously, the goal is to kind of make it fair for the defensive lineman because, you have to be lined up with the belt line of the center. You don't want to have too much of a head start back there, as a tackle with your hand off the ground. So we'll talk to Dan about all that and more at 1:25. So that is the show today. Somehow, we have managed to go through an entire week without doing cap or no cap.
Well, it's been eventful.
But that streak will end today. Let's do a little cap.
It means lion, but built different now. It's cap.
I'm going to say cap.
For no cap.
I'm going to say that's no cap.
On 92.9's Jason and John Show.
That was the best NFL opener ever.
I struggled to come up with one right off the top of my head that comes down to, again, as a rematch of last year's AFC Championship, and comes down to what it did last night. I'll be honest with you. I thought likely it scored. I thought we were headed to overtime.
Yep.
Didn't you on first watch?
I did.
I think most of us did when you saw it. I think the way it was called and
the way he reacted. You know?
Everybody. I think we all thought it was a touchdown, and probably Patrick Mahomes there early on thought he's going to be back out there in overtime. And so, heck of a game. I got to give Lamar credit, because it seemed like there were a couple times where it felt like Chiefs had that 10-point lead at, in the second half, and it seemed like there were a couple times there where Chiefs were about ready to put it away. Credit to them. Credit to Lamar keeping them in. That final play where he almost does a 360, almost as if it's planned. I just want to keep the defense moving for a couple more seconds. I mean, he hadn't even looked up. You know what I'm talking about on the scamper right before he throws that ball? I mean, it's almost like the plan is to run around for a second, get everybody discombobulated, and boom, first shot I see, I'm going to throw it. And I tell you what, he had missed a couple of throws beforehand. But back to the point, he had him in position. If likely comes down with the with the toe in, that's a touchdown. You're going to overtime, and maybe you've got a shot. It was a fantastic game. You had everything. You had the star power with Taylor, all that. That's just for the, for these now that have come on and made Taylor Swift a thing. But you had all the Swifties watching. You had a game that lived up to the hype and then went all the way down to the wire. I thought it was about as good as you can open a season. I think they're going to have a hard time trumping it down in, Sao Paulo tonight.
Yeah, it
San
was.
Paulo.
Sao Paulo.
Sao Paulo.
Well, it's S-A-O, man.
Sao Paulo. But I've always called it San Paulo all my life. I used to get back and forth between here and there.
Yes. That was fantastic. I thought for the Ravens, they definitely have a couple of concerns. One, that offensive line is a mess. They adjusted. They started doing some quick stuff, and Lamar had to run quite a bit. But the offensive line is a mess, and I'm not sure the receivers are good enough to get open, for that to be quick stuff downfield.
Zay stays open.
Yeah. I mean, he'll get open,
As he stalls, in space. He's of that Hollywood Hobson variety. When are they going to get a real one up in there?
Yeah, I don't know. They've never had
6'5"
Maybe that's likely. Yeah. He might be the guy.
He might have just been rised up to TE1 is what it is over TE2, Mark Andrews.
Yeah, they ran a lot of 12 personnel.
But you're right. I mean, he plays like a wide receiver.
So the offensive line is definitely the concern. Lamar Jackson ran the ball 16 times. And he was willing to do it, and he looked great. And obviously, you hear about the weight loss and how much better he feels. And he said that coming into the game, that if he felt like this in the AFC Championship game, it would have been different. And who knows? Maybe it would have. This game, they were going to go for two, so they would have had a chance.
Oh, that's right.
To walk it off.
I do remember Harbaugh saying too. That's right. That's right. That game technically wasn't going to go to overtime.
Yeah,
we were going to get.
No, it was not going to overtime. He was going to end one way or the other, right there.
That's right.
But I came away, even though it was a very valiant effort, I came away kind of concerned about Baltimore because, one, if you need Lamar to run the ball 16 times every game to win, he's not going to last. I mean, he's not going to last through the season. He's had injury issues before, and he's lowering his shoulder, and he's just not going to make it. So that's the concern I have for Baltimore. And also, Derrick Henry is totally washed, bro. Like, that dude has no explosion. He got a touchdown. Congratulations. But he didn't do anything other than that. I guess he had that first down run on fourth down where the guy got him in the backfield and he powered his way for the first. But, like, he's not going to be this. You're not getting Titans Derrick Henry. You're getting a dude that looks like he has 3,000 career touches.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, again, he'll be good for you in short yardage. But if you expect him to be anything much more than that, I think you're going to be disappointed. I put the picture out there last night that it is Patrick Ewing in Orlando. You're getting a very washed-up version of Derrick Henry.
I don't think it's that bad. Not Patrick Ewing in Orlando.
Hakeem Olajuwon in Toronto is what you're getting, bro. So, I mean, my man averaged 3.5 yards a carry.
I mean, I can't sit up here and tell you he looked great.
Yeah. I mean, and again, against the Chiefs defense,
you made the point, though. Their offensive line's banged up.
I just
reserve a little bit. Darn well got a little bit. If they're going to deploy him the way the Titans did, then no. But I would think it's going to be between him, the Justice Hill kid, and who's the other? You had two backs out. You had two out. That you would committee this thing, try to keep some tread on him, and you're not going to over, you know, you're not going to use him in the same way that the Titans. You're not going to ask that of him. That's the only way you're going to keep Derrick Henry, you know, impactful this season. Now, I would hope that's the plan. And again, shore up that offensive line, which, as you mentioned, you had said for a week coming into this thing, they were banged up there. So
yeah.
I'm going to reserve full judgment on whether he's washed until they're a little bit more healthy up front.
I just came away like, so that's my Baltimore take. My Chiefs take aligns with yours in that, you know, how if you're Buffalo, did you allow this to happen?
Welcome aboard, because now that's where you got to say, okay, well, Smooth was on this.
Yeah, Worthy.
I told you that draft night, I think it was.
Yeah, Worthy looks like a key that unlocks.
It's Andy Reid saying, okay, I have another Tyreek Hill type guy, and oh, by the way, this dude's fast. He's the fastest we've ever seen in the combine. And the guy runs the routes, and you saw him score twice already.
And by the way, Hollywood Brown's hurt.
Yeah, I know.
He'll be back.
Him on fantasy. Yeah.
He'll be back.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like
they have real weapons.
It's unfair.
Again, when it comes to the edges, obviously they've always had one in the seam and up the middle with Kelsey. But if you give him those kinds of weapons again on the edges, remember what he's been working with. I mean, it's Valdez Scantlings and things, you know, the last couple of years. It's been Kadarius Toney's, who this year they were able to, cut. And so it's serious upgrade. And back to, like John said, if you are the Bills, you know, I know you end up with Keon Coleman, who, you know, you like out of Florida State. He's a big boy. You lost to Stephon Diggs. But you're allowing the Chiefs to come up and do this. A team that ultimately is the team that's keeping you away from a Super Bowl. And you just gave them the next Tyreek Hill. So
yeah, that was awesome.
Real smart, Buffalo.
That was awesome. Like I watched that. The quarterback.
And weren't they the Patrick Mahomes trade anyway, too, or something
like
that?
Dude, they were the Mahomes trade.
That's the tale, too.
They were the Worthy trade. Yep. They even had the punter.
I hope they're sharing all the revenue with you,
I mean,
Buffalo.
Where would the Kansas City Chiefs be?
Because y'all done made them.
Where would they be without the Buffalo front office, man? I mean,
Jeff and them.
That's crazy. That's crazy that all this could have been there in Buffalo. I mean, seriously. And instead,
they're thinking, okay, well, Keon's a one. We'll be fine with him. But again, it's who you're giving Xavier to.
Exactly, bro.
The chance to get Xavier to.
I would never do a deal with Kansas City if I'm Buffalo. We're competing. I'll do a deal with Philly. You know,
yeah.
I won't see you but once. You know, I'll live
same
with
boat
that.
There. That's a,
if
that seems
value.
Like a no-brainer to me.
But Kansas City, I have to go
through
you. I
have some principles, man.
I have to go through you, bro. I'm not doing it. So anyway, I would say, I don't know if it's the best opener, but it was absolutely electrifying. I don't know how we go 200 days out without it a year. All right, moving forward. You take Ed at his word on the Memphis basketball decisions and who was responsible for making them, cap or no cap. He was on with Jeff Calkins earlier today. And he said, in so many words, that this was a Penny Hardaway decision because Penny Hardaway is the basketball coach. Did say it was in consultation, but he did say he leaves the decision up to Penny Hardaway because he is the basketball coach.
I believe him.
Okay.
And I believe it went as you and I laid out a little bit yesterday, that Ed comes in here, new AD. And you see you look at a list of guys that, frankly, is too long, and you say, well, we can't do this, right? Again, you have an idea of the big picture, and you have an idea of what, you know, what you've been around with Tony Bennett and other staffs, but also, you know, we had talked about it, we had joked about it. Memphis has got one of the biggest support staffs, one of the biggest coaching staffs in the country. And so Ed Scott comes in and says, Mom, we can't do it like this. And no doesn't handpick guys to say you're out of here, because as you discussed with Hitman, as we pointed out, Jermaine Johnson's presence alone should tell you this is Penny Hardaway making the call, right? I would think an AD coming in from the outside would think Rick Stansberry is a benefit to a program based on what we know.
Yeah.
Well, what everybody said about Stansberry NIL, you would say, you know, if it was your call, you'd probably say, well, hey, maybe you should keep Rick. Rick's gone. That's Penny. And so what I would tell you is what happened is that it is what Ed Scott said. Penny made the decisions on who gets the axe. But I'm telling you right now, Ed Scott came in and said, you got to cut this down. Yeah.
Yeah, well.
I mean, that's the way I admit that, you know. See,
yeah.
And then everybody's right. And Ed Scott is telling Jeff Calkins the truth when he says this was Penny's decision
on
who these guys were, you know. Would you agree or not agree?
No, I would totally agree. And you know, there's a lot of talk about audio and obtained audio. Well, we actually do have some audio. We have some audio.
Let's hear
of what was going down. Anybody that happened to cross paths with Penny Hardaway this week at the Lori Walton facility, here's a listen.
Screw you! You're fired! You're fired!
Whoa!
You're fired! You're fired! You're fired!
Except for... And that was obviously, you heard the interactions with Rick and Faraji and Jamie Rosser. You kind of go one by one there. You can deduce. I don't want to have to lay it out for you whose firing was whose. You know, maybe they're the ones with more vigor. But one firing that did not happen was who was supposed to be our next guest at 11:25.
I guess technically, remember, he was not part of a staff. He was a consultant, but he wasn't a coach on a staff that pretty much just brings back, what, Dwight Boyd and Jordan Verhulst. And so it's almost been a complete cleaning out. But anyway, as he's pointed out, I think to Leon and others, hired in July, Jermaine Johnson, as John speaks of. And I talked to Jermaine last night.
Okay.
And as we had talked about, we had discussed it, when that news came out that Jermaine had been fired, let go.
Yeah.
Jermaine was eager to talk.
Right.
And since then, obviously, the news has come out that Jermaine has been retained. So we know under the umbrella and the arm of Penny Hardaway still. And I talked to him last night. Hey, man, you still want to come on? I mean, kind of imagining. And we had talked about
it. Yep. So
once the MO, you know, when Jermaine's been able to come on and talk to us, we've had him on as weekly guest. He's been outside the program. Once you're back in, and once he's been back in, he hasn't. And so last night, you know, as I expected, he said, no, man, I got to help Penny Hardaway win games. You know, love you to death, bro, all that good. Stop! I want to hear, you know, nuss. I'm kidding. I didn't tell Jermaine to stop. I'm like, Jeff, tell me more. You know, if you want to come, you know.
Right.
That's a joke.
Yeah.
From, if you had to listen this morning, it's a little bit of an inside joke. Back to the point. No, man, Jermaine's working. He said he had to help Penny Hardaway win. I will say this. I thought some of what Ed Scott said in terms of the things that are going on and how far back this goes, we're a little bit enlightening, and I'll touch on that, especially in regards to Jermaine, because Ed Scott said there was a letter while he was, this letter was out there while he was in the interview process. Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that part with Jeff?
Yep.
So this letter, guys, that has these allegations that we know, you know, Pat Forty wrote about a couple days ago, Gary Parrish has now, you know, chimed in on, others have come in on. That letter's been out there for a long time. We know it kind of became mainstream here the last couple of days, and that's why Memphis then acknowledges it. But the point is, the letter's been there.
Mm-hmm.
Ed Scott's known about it, right? Whose name's in the top of the letter right there, one of the first accusations?
It's Jermaine.
Jermaine Johnson,
yeah,
as part of it. They just retained Jermaine. So it is interesting to me that while the university has told you, yeah, we've looked at this and we've turned it over to the NCAA, they've also moved a step forward in hiring. You can call it rehiring if you want to. Jermaine was consulted last year, but a July hiring, just like Mike Davis and those other guys, of Jermaine Johnson, who's on the list. My point of I say all that to say this: if they thought this was super serious, you're right. You're not allowing Penny Hardaway, at least that first allegation. I told you there was some timeline stuff off with that. You're not allowing Penny Hardaway to bring Jermaine Johnson back. So that letter and these accusations, guys, they've been around a long time. And Memphis has had a chance to sort of respond in a way. And listen, guys got fired for Faraji, mm-hmm. Jamie, guys who weren't in that letter. Jermaine's still there. So I just feel like if Memphis thought there was a ton here,
right,
that it's going to have to respond to. Now, don't, you know, number three is different, John.
Yep.
Let's be real. The one with Malco and the academic stuff, that's different. But those initial ones, if Memphis thought that there were some real teeth to this stuff, guys, mm-hmm. I don't think Penny would have been. Penny is not keeping Jermaine Johnson. Ed Scott's probably not allowing, right? That's
yep.
the point. And so that's my thing. Memphis is sort of telling us that, hey, they're not, you know, and it doesn't feel like they're so worried about this letter that for the last 2 days has had all of Memphis hemmed up. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
And sort of their actions say that. You know, Ed Scott didn't say, Penny, Jermaine Johnson, everybody on this list, out of here. Because Jermaine Johnson's back. And so if they thought there was an issue with Jermaine, he's not back on the staff.
Right. Right. Yeah, agree totally. I mean,
so I did think what Ed said about how long that letter's been around was very important.
Yeah.
Because it's also told us, well, Memphis is responding like that. You know, they don't. Now, Ed did say, too, now if we find out,
right,
you know, something down the line, we're going to have to respond then. And you know, and again, what, you know, what you would have to do from a personnel standpoint, we'll see on this Malco stuff. Because I will say, you know, that other one with Emmanuel Aycott, man, get that out of my face. The second one we all know about, but that we saw on the thing. But the third one, you know, the thing with Malco, we've been talking about that now for months.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
what we've talked about since the last of the season last year. Would Malco not play the last five games it was?
Yeah.
And so this one's been on the table for a while. Those allegations named some other players' names. We don't need to get into that again because I tell you, there was no reason to acknowledge this yet. Like Memphis did, the administration did. Because right now they're just allegations, anonymous allegations.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see what else the NCAA's got.
Yeah. But it was a very fascinating interview, very telling in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah. He's smooth.
Yeah, definitely. We'll come back. Anthony Sane will join us on the other side and talk to him about this week in Memphis sports, Grizzlies, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, how do you try to fit?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the remarkable fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
WSBN.
It just got so much harder.
Anthony Sane, the host of the Anthony Sane Show on Bluff City Media. He is the tribal chief, longtime tribal chief of Grizz Twitter, independent journalist and founder of Asylum Media Group, father of five-star 2032 multi-sport prospect Gabriel Sane. Follow Sane on X at Sane Asylum. And he joins us like he does every Friday. We're grateful to have him. I saw some Grizz news, Sane, before we get to the storm that is Memphis basketball. Maybe that storm's calmed down a little bit. Maybe there's not a storm at all, actually. We'll get to all that. What do I need to know about these additions of Baycott and Kawamura and Oni? Are these any of this going to stick, or are we just talking about, you know, training camp?
Yeah, you don't need to know nothing. You
training camp bodies.
You won't see these guys after 6 weeks unless you plan on taking the trip to South Haven. These are all just camp bodies. This, we've got 14 guys under contract, two under the two-way. These four guys make 20. That's your 20 camp, 20 allotable.
That's what gets
camp
you
bodies.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Baycott.
That's your guys.
What are you thinking of his game?
I think he's like 27, if I'm not mistaken.
Super old.
He was at Carolina forever.
Yeah.
And his game never really has evolved.
No,
right? I don't think Baycott.
Not a pro in my opinion.
Gonna be tough to stick in the league for Baycott.
Yeah.
It feels like
my boy Kawamura. I saw him in the Olympics a little bit.
He's small.
He's about 4'2".
Well, that ain't gonna work.
Something like that.
Okay.
I don't think he's gonna be a hustle guy though. Like, I think he's got some international stuff going on. That's kind of odd.
I'd believe that. Yeah.
I don't really understand what they're doing because most of the time these guys you're signing them with a little incentive for them to play for the hustle. But I don't think that's the type of player he is. I don't think he's going to go play in the G League.
That man is...
Other guys, I don't know. Except this one guy dunked on Gobert. The Piera dude dunked on Gobert.
Kawamura is just 159 pounds.
Yeah, he's number 5'. And I think that kid played for us, the Piera.
Man, smaller than Gabe.
Yeah, he's a little dude. Man, Gabe don't want it. Man, bro, you know Gabe and them gave up one touchdown the whole season. Like, they've smacked everybody.
85 Bears-ish.
They won again last night, I think 35-36-0. I got bad news, though.
I'm still hurting from it. Don't tell John. I don't know if he can deal with it.
Hey, John. We lost White Travis Hunter last night.
No, they got him.
Out for the season.
Too many snaps. He's playing everywhere.
Out for the season. Damn, bro.
I'm not going to get into details for, the protection of the kid. But we lost White Travis Hunter. He's gone.
He was a good one.
He was going to be a beast. He still is a beast. He's a kid. He'll be back.
All right. Well, we'll pray for him.
Yeah, he's gone.
Greater later.
But we ain't playing with you folks, man. Gabe overcame injury, his own self. Gabe jammed his finger the other night. It was a game-time decision on him. Being the center, he had to be 100%.
Y'all still dominated.
I came to the game, hyped him up, pepped him up. We went on and broke the finger. And now I said, look to your right, son, real hard. And I just grabbed his finger and snatched it, and he screamed to the high heels, and, he was ready to go, man. We had to just break the finger and keep it going to play last night.
You went on and just completed the break.
Yeah, why not, man? Now I'm lying, but...
I was going to say, we're going to have to call child service.
Gabe did overcome a jammed finger.
Man, thank goodness.
Play last night, though, for real.
Happy for Gabe and the team.
Undefeated.
Things are going smoothly for them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like things are still going to go smoothly for Penny, or are you concerned?
Man, of course you're concerned. It's so ugly and nasty looking, man. And this is clear stuff where somebody that, and I'll say this, man, on my show, you can check out the Anthony Saints show anytime today, later this afternoon on podcast, whatever you want to do. But Penny made some, and we talked about this as well. Penny made some errors that and I'll just spot out two of them. And I think two of those are, number one, you can't bring everybody where you're trying to go, man. If you get an opportunity to go somewhere amazing, you can't take everybody with you. And Penny has tried to take everybody with him. And the people he's brought with him have bitten him in the ass. And we're seeing that now with this letter that went out to the media and all these type of things. These are people that he's had some type of agreement or transaction or understanding with. Those understandings probably don't exist anymore, whether that's a job or friendship or I'm taking care of you or you my guy, whatever it is.
Man, the ship ain't tight enough.
Because you've allowed this
stuff to get out.
This is clearly somebody that's vexed about Penny now, and they've crossed them. Somebody who was in this inner circle that probably never should have been in this inner circle in the beginning. And I think that's a fatal error he made. And another error, just being real, is that Penny has not made allies in the media. He's not made enough of them. And he hasn't used us as guys that can help counteract some of the stuff that's against him. And we talk about this like...
I think that probably stems, and you just tell me if you agree, from as a player, you came up not dealing with the media.
Right. But as a coach, you got to have some media on your side, bro. Because when the ones who are against you are not on your side, you got to have people say, hey, I need to pop on your show, bro. I need you to write this story about me. I need to hop on your podcast. I need this to be news at 5. You know what I mean? Like, you need guys that you can do that type of stuff with. And he just doesn't have enough of those allies. He has some. I can name them all immediately.
Nah, man.
You don't have enough.
I think you're making a great point.
You don't have nearly enough. Like, and he's And like, when these kind of things happen, and this is what... And
not that it's got to be us, but to your point, when a media voice like Gary Parrish decides, you know what, I don't believe anymore.
Yeah, you butt naked.
I mean, that can hurt you in terms of with fans. Exactly.
When Gary and Jeff get on your ass, you ain't got nobody saying nothing different.
1,000%. And, I mean, you don't need that.
Yeah, and it's not just the saying something different. You don't have anybody with ammunition. You know what I mean? And every time Penny's done that, it's been awesome. When he pops on Doc Holliday's show, it's awesome. Like, you really see, oh, man, that's a side of Penny I never saw before. When he shows up on Marcus Taylor's show.
There's been some of that.
That Marcus Taylor interview was
incredible. Now, he was frustrated that day.
But I'm just saying, but it showed you a side of Penny.
No, you're right. We saw the frustration.
And it really covered a multitude of sin. Like, that interview was big for Penny, you know what I mean, on the positive side. And he's just not taking advantage of that type of stuff. And I think a lot of coaches, even Josh Pastner, man, understood media relationships, you know what I mean? And he that stuff bought him a whole lot of time. And it covered up a lot of stuff about Josh that was a deficiency. And Penny just doesn't. And it's too many people, like we joke about all the time, that are legit Penny Hardaway fans that he's not using as ammunition to keep his brand looking a certain way. And like when bad stuff happens, he's out there. And I had this conversation talking about Grind City Media. And this isn't a direct shot at Grind City Media, because most of the people that work for Grind City Media, they're like my phone number and my friend phone numbers and my phone level friends. Like,
yeah, we got a couple over there too.
Yeah, I've got you know, I've been up, you know, I hang out with people in Grind City Media, so I'm not knocking individuals over there. But when that type of thing happens, where all the information is coming through one source. There's good when everything is good. When everything is bad, now you don't have anybody that's
lockdown
that can plead your case. You know what I mean? So I think that Penny kind of put himself in a bad way, not having just true allies in the media. Because like I said, when guys are against him, he don't have anybody to defend anything or create another narrative or to spin things a different way.
But I'm with you there, and that goes to message and what can certainly help you in certain times and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But back to your point, the ship needed to be tighter. Your starting point is what it ultimately stops with him.
Yeah. And for example, this letter, right? Like, if you can look at this letter on two totally different ends of the spectrum, bro. You can look at this like, oh, man, this is crazy. Like, they got to let go of Penny. Like, it's super out of control over there, right?
There was a lot of that.
Right. I've seen people on that tip. Then I've seen some people say, bro, why are we talking about something that happened in 2020 and we've got NLL since then? Like, what are we talking about?
Anonymous.
Do we got proof of this stuff? Like, what is this, bro? This looks stupid. Like, what does this even mean? Like, okay, he paid players. Who they ain't? You know what I mean? You can. Yeah. But the spin that's out there is this is totally out of control, because Penny doesn't have. I mean, it's even ways he could have got in front of this, bro. Like, you know what I mean? It's just not. He's just not using the media the way he can. You know what I mean? So
the way that he could. I agree with you.
He's got some major guys who got his back, bro. Like, you know what I mean? And, like, with that letter that went out, to a lot of people. A lot of people sat on that letter and are still sitting on that letter. You know what I mean? They're not even showing, letting people know I even got it. You know what I mean? But he's not really recognizing those people and using those people to his advantage. Like, he's just kind of letting stuff go. And the media is still powerful, bro. Like, it's still powerful because, like, the way that this story is getting spent, the narrative is on this now, is by, you know, a certain group of people. And you can't knock what they're saying, because they've got the power right now. You know what I mean? So he's just taking it for, like, whatever it is. But I got what Penny has to do now, man, is him, Tim Duncan, and Ed Scott have to be lock and step. If this thing is going, whatever they decide to do going forward, they've got to be.
I'm with you on this plan.
They got to be together to make this happen.
If it's going
to
work,
it can't be Penny on the island versus everybody.
Oh yeah, them days of it are.
It's got to be those three working together, choosing the staff. You know, all eyes on Penny. Like, he has to be transparent to let those guys see what he's doing. He can't be, and it's so hard to do, bro, because he's such a different type of coaching situation where he's a megastar celebrity and he's local.
Well, I think they're going to – now, one thing, they're going to let him pick his staff. I think that's clear. Like, he's picked Mike Davis.
I ain't saying don't let him pick it, but it needs to be some open communication, not like, I do what I want to do type stuff. You know what I mean? I don't know how it's been, but it kind of comes off like Penny's just been kind of doing what he wants to do. And I think Ed Scott – I think that those three guys, if they walk together, they can figure this out. And if they come together and they decide this ain't the route they need to go, I think all three of them need to come together and figure it out. I would hate for this to get ugly, hate for it to get nasty, hate for it to get disrespectful, because we're talking about one of the legendary – and not just basketball players, not just coaches, but legendary citizens of Memphis, you know, in the history of this city, one of the great people, historically great people in this city. So I just think it all needs to be handled correctly by all parties involved.
I think
you know, look, to your point, you got to have one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
You either got to be winning at a Kirby Smart type level and going to tournaments and Sweet 16s and Elite Eights, or you got to have a good, be in a good place with media.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got to have one or the other. You can have the first and not have the second.
Yeah, Cal didn't have to worry about media.
But you can't you can't not have the first and then not have the second. And mm-hmm. we talked about Tim Duncan. I actually think that could be a way for him to be super
effective.
He's got
to use it, man. He's got to use his
because people know Tim. You know, Tim's been around. He's mm-hmm. he obviously played for the university. And Tim can do a better job of getting the message out and maybe massaging things, right, in that role better than Penny himself. And I think, you know, it can kind of screen that.
Who's been an AD.
Tim knows how to play that game, right? Mm-hmm. He knows how to, you know, deal with people.
And Tim Duncan was clearly brought here for a Penny.
Exactly.
To give us the best
version. So, I mean, if Penny's going to be the guy, which Ed Scott says he's going to be the guy, then, mm-hmm. then, you know, okay, how can we put Penny in the best possible position to be successful?
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that that is a way with Tim, he can help.
Yeah.
You know, because I think the prior way was really not helpful.
Yeah, no. Nah,
you know, nah. For Penny.
Penny operating on the island.
Right.
This is what we get from that. You know what I mean? I'm not going to get into the details, but we get what we have with Penny just being on the island. Penny's got to be part of the team.
Now, you know, like you said, Josh was probably too much so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Josh was obsessive. He'd call you at, like, you know, 11:30 at night, and
mm-hmm.
You know, for no – I mean, dude, Josh fell asleep on the phone with me once. I'm like, bro, what's wrong with you?
Hey, I need to know all that.
I started hearing, like, the heavy breathing. I'm like, man, go to bed, dog. Like, what – you know?
Right.
But there is a balance,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying, that
– Yeah, Josh was different, man. You made me think about it because it was something going on. I can't remember what it was. But I emailed him about some event. This is when I was blogging. I wasn't doing nothing. You know what I mean? And I emailed him about something. And I got a personal email back from Josh like, hey, I would love to make it, but I got this going on.
Yep.
Sorry, I can't do it.
Oh, he's crazy about that.
I didn't expect you to actually respond to this.
Every email.
Yeah, man. Josh was, he was a different breed. But we're far from that now. And I'm not saying this particularly a knock on Penny. Penny Hardaway is Penny Hardaway. Like, he's not going to move like that at all. But he's got to find some type of way to get off that island and be part of what these guys are trying to do, because those guys are his bosses, man, at the end of the day. And I know that's crazy to say, but those guys are going to do what's in the best interest for themselves and for the University of Memphis. So I hope that they can all three come together and be, you know, what we need them to be.
Yeah, I will say this. I mean, you know, I mentioned that I talked to Jermaine, who's on the staff,
mm-hmm.
last night, and he touched on this too, though. They have to win ball games. Like, that's the practical part of this. We could talk about how, you know, tightening up the ship and the right staff and all that and chemistries. And,
mm-hmm.
But if he doesn't win ball games this year after you've had, like, a column that – the kind of column that Gary wrote yesterday about it, you know, you've got
I ain't
that
read
boy.
It, but yeah.
Well, I mean, Gary basically said, listen, I grew up rooting for this guy. And back in 2018, I'm one of the ones that raised my hand and said, you need to go hire him.
Yeah.
And I was wrong. And we've been basically, I don't have any faith anymore. It's time to move on.
Oh, man.
And so when a national voice like that mm-hmm. moves, and if you read the comments at all, a ton of Tiger fans said, they were right with him. I feel you. That's how I feel. You worded how. That's not great for business.
No.
For in it's terms of Penny Hardaway. So if you add that sentiment with a losing season this year,
mm-hmm.
brother, you might as well call it finito. So practically, he's just got to get back to winning and get to the tournament. I mean, period. You can figure out the chemistry and the mm-hmm. coaches and all that as you go. It might not be an as you go if you don't get to the tournament this year. I don't even think it'd be worth it for him at that point.
I'm not going to make an apples-to-apples comparison, but I'll just kind of say this when it comes down to Penny. Penny feels like, kind of think of an example, like,
don't lose to Rice and Tulane.
Yeah, you know? let's say you got a cell phone, right? And you're like, oh man, this thing is taking horrible pictures. Like, I've had this phone for years and my pictures always suck, right? And then, like, you call Apple and you're like, hey, what's wrong with my phone? And like, did you make sure that they pulled the cover off the back or whatever? Like, yeah, I did that. Like, are you sure? Yeah, I did it. Like, man, this phone sucks, right? It seems like with Penny, like, it seems like with a little bit of tinkering here and there, you can really get him to be the guy we want him to be. Like, you could just
I know, because he's been close. That makes this more frustrating.
Right. If I could just, crap, I didn't pull that seal off the back of the phone. Yeah, so it's like I understand the frustration. I understand the, we're not winning enough and all these type of things. But I heard John say this the other day. It's like, with all this crazy stuff that's happened this offseason, getting rid of these coaches, now you bring in Mike Davis, you bring in Andre Turner, you probably bring in Nolan Smith. Like, the right thing probably could end up happening. This could probably be Penny's best season, even with all this turmoil. And I hope that's the case, because it feels like we're right there. It feels like everything's like, man, if Penny just didn't do this, or if Penny just didn't get this kid, or if he didn't bring this kid back, or if it was just, he just did this just, instead of this.
If they had got that timeout, we might have, and they have just, a Sweet 16
just,
appearance.
Yeah, it just seems like everything with him is like, man, he ain't really that far away. It's like, it's, because at the end of the day, like I always say, to me, in my opinion, the best case scenario for the University of Memphis is for Penny Hardaway to figure it out, not for anybody else to come here. Because like I said, you could get a guy who comes in, he's good, we make a run, a tournament run, or we get close to the tournament, we just look better, we're at the top of the AAC, all those type of things. And then people are going to come calling, that guy's probably going to leave,
yes.
And you got to do it all over again. But Penny, if he figures it out, he's going to be here until we die. You know what I mean? Until he dies. You know what I mean? So I get both sides of it. I can go in another direction with this, but it's a much more frustrating conversation. I don't feel like arguing with people, so I don't feel like getting my DMs blew up today or asked on Twitter. But there's another side of this I would like to venture as well. But I mean, I hope he figures it out. I hope that.
No, I'm in the same boat with
it
you.
It does feel like everybody's at zero tolerance. It does feel
I think we're right there.
It does feel like, all right. It seems like they've had a conversation like, all right, Penny, like, we've got rid of everybody around you.
Yep.
It's on you. You know what I mean? We'll be here for you, but you got to use us. We got to do this together, and if not, bro, like, this might be it. I think those type of conversations have happened, and I hope he responds.
Well, this is just the way it goes, right? If it's like if we're using NFL analogies,
mm-hmm.
when the offensive coordinator gets fired and the defensive coordinator gets fired.
Yeah, you know what's next.
Like, you get that last year to figure it out, and, you know.
They told me that's not true for Taylor Jenkins, though.
Well.
they told me that's not the case for him.
Of course it's true for Taylor Jenkins.
Yeah, of course it is. People are just,
I mean, if they underwell him next year, he is gone. He is fired.
Yeah, he's gone.
I mean, I that's the one where I just don't understand people at all. NBA coaches especially.
Are extremely expendable. Bro. Like college literally. Coaches are harder to move out from because there's a
great history.
Because he's
tradition.
More than just a coach; he's the GM.
Question.
You know what
yes.
I mean? So yeah, it's so much different with college as far as the NBA.
I mean, you know, and I know people that love Taylor, but as far as that goes, bro, he could be gone tomorrow. And I'm not
undeniable.
Blinking.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the NBA.
It's the NBA. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's the nature of that business.
They could go coachless.
The same is, you know, if it was for Ryan Silverfield, I mean, he's changed some coordinators. He's got to go out there and win the AAC, too.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
I mean, you know, I think everybody's on pretty, you know, I don't think anybody has, like, this great job security.
Yeah.
They have to produce.
So, the host of me, I'm about to take over y'all's show real quick. All right, we got Florida State next week, right?
I like the way you say we. Go ahead.
I'm a Tiger fan. Hey, man, good playing, bro. Good playing.
No, you know which one's the better team this year.
Who?
Between Tigers and Dion.
They were better than Colorado last year.
Yeah, but not to start.
Hey, bro.
Not to start. Colorado won bigger games.
Hey, bro, let's stay in AAC business, bro. Let's stay with
me. I just like we. I like hearing you and this Memphis football
team.
Gabe is a future Tiger,
And Memphis got to start taking care of me, too, man. I went on a rant on my show today, man, about the University of Memphis, bro. Like, because Kenny was – everybody likes to give me crap about how, like, I don't pay for no tickets or nothing. Like, because people really be hating on the fact
never,
that –
You never do.
People really be hating on the fact that people take care of me, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know
– I think I slick hate on it.
Yeah, y'all be hating on me, bro.
God knows my
y'all
heart,
hate,
so I may as
y'all
well
be
say
hating because
and you send them to me. I mean, maybe that's something that, it's like you're trolling them all. You know what I'm saying? Look at these free tickets I got. Like, you're trolling them. So I might resent it a little bit.
Man.
But anyway.
And I went on a little mini rant today to University of Memphis, man. I told them, if you want my kid, man, y'all need to take care of me now. Like, I ain't paying for nothing. I'm tired of having to worry about stressing fans out, man. You know what I'm saying? Just give me my money, man.
Did you have a good time?
Yeah, I had a good time. Yeah. And that hole ain't nearly.
John was down there too, but you probably couldn't see him. He was on the sideline.
Out to the end zone. The new end zone.
You weren't working, was it, bro?
No, I don't.
You ain't no working.
I haven't worked in at least 12 years.
Big corporate.
That's what I'm talking about, my guys. I know you went on no beat out here.
I mean, I can. You know what I'm saying?
Memphis just pull up.
Memphis used a big effort behind Seth Hennigan to overwhelm North Alabama.
Right.
No. But yeah, I love going to Tiger football games.
Yeah, and let me you say this, bro. This the
apparently there ain't many of y'all.
Well,
hey, it was a cool look.
Well, we made, but few, but mighty.
We only made $4 the other night. They said we were projected to make $1 million.
Hell yeah, we made money. Hey, dog.
No, it's like $43,000. That's what I'm saying. And Laird Veach said we were going to make $250 or something. You know what I mean? The numbers were way off.
But you know what though?
So I might need to hit it tomorrow, May 11 a.m.
Hey, I ain't got no tickets too, man.
I figured you already had some.
I haven't really, you know, made any pitches out there. But if y'all have tickets to the game, preferably good seats, don't send me no. I ain't got no
Gabe
cheap
won't
taste.
Be
man.
Impressed by
I'm cheap, but I ain't got no
Gabe.
Cheap taste, bro. Hey, don't embarrass my kid, man. Don't have me embarrassed in front of my kid, man. If you got some tickets, DM me on Twitter, you know what I'm saying? I definitely would appreciate those for sure. I love how y'all take care of your boy.
Defense look better.
They look good, man. They look good for real.
It was a FCS team, but so far so good, I would say.
I'm gonna say two more things about Tiger football.
Oh no.
The whole Ags character to me. It looks pretty.
Well, on TV it's weird. On the punts when it goes up, and then that's when you can see the Coliseum, and it looks like a.
But see, we know this is a Coliseum. People might think that's an actual functioning stadium.
They're saying if you're there and end it, it's like a. I heard the band guy say it's like a bay window.
It looked pretty cool, man. Like it doesn't look bad at all. Like it doesn't. The pictures and stuff.
It's not something to be made fun of in a way. You're saying it's just fine.
It looks cool, man.
A transitional phase.
Yeah. What are they putting right there?
Well, it's going to be an open deck and party deck, and eventually there'll be a
that's what it's going to be?
Suites and everything else over
there. Oh, that's going to be
clean.
Right
there. Yeah. It'll just be updated.
That's going to be clean, bro. I'm going to like that for sure.
I think they already have a place for you because you've said you want to be there. I think they've already got a spot reserved for
me and Gabe. Yeah. They better take care of me, bro, for real.
I'm
gonna tell you how crazy Gabe is, though, bro.
This man's kid is that cold.
I'm gonna tell you how crazy Gabe is.
They might want to.
So when we got there, so old dude. Shout out to this man. I'm gonna say this too. Y'all security was trash Saturday, bro. Like the time it took to get up in there, that was unacceptable, bro. Like, come on, man.
Dude.
But anyway. Like, imagine we actually had a real crowd up in this joint. But anyway.
Man, thank God we don't have an SEC team on this schedule.
Thank God ain't nobody coming to the actual games, bro.
Oh, my God. Ed said we're going to get the kids.
Took an hour to get up in that joint. All right, but anyway,
so we got
man.
It.
So
I had to lie about who I was. I had to skip the line.
Yeah, man, it was crazy.
I said I was Jerry Lawler's grandson, man. That's how I got in so fast.
I bet Kevin a bunch Lawler of white people use that.
But no, man, so this is old dude. This like, the man was in good shape, though. He was literally throwing pieces of candy in the crowd like the Grizzlies throw T-shirts. Like, he was throwing candy, right? Now, how he got this much candy in there, I don't know. Like, because he was throwing candy for a while. Like, I don't know how he got that paid. Kind of alarmed me a little bit, this dude was able to get that much candy through security, right? So he's throwing candy to kids, whatever. And Gabe, just out of instinct, is like, yeah, throw me some. So Gabe jumps, and he gets two pieces. And Gabe was like, he sits there, he thinks for a minute because the candy's kind of melted, right?
Of course it's melted, right? I need more details, but
right. Gabe says, a random old man throwing candy at a football game, I'll pass.
Man, thank you for being able to recognize.
Gabe said that candy right there.
Suspect situations.
Man, I was crying laughing. I was like, Gabe,
I was wondering, was that
planet,
a hired candy giver by the University of Memphis?
No, it's just a random man.
We're not taking that damn candy.
And you know, folks, they're just like, I'm good. Gabe was like, a random old man throwing candy at the game, I'll pass. But he asked for some just out of instinct. He caught a couple pieces, and he did not eat that candy. Gabe left that candy sitting right there on that seat beside him.
See, they're trying. It was the man trying to recruit Gabe, bro.
That's what you get.
Nah, man, he was throwing it to everybody.
It'll be an upset if that kid's not at Christian Brothers. I'm gonna say it now.
Hey, Christian Brothers, but hey, just know we are not paying tuition over there. Just know that.
Don't even call me.
What I look like having a star kid and paying y'all for my kid to go there? No, if you want my kid to go there, we ain't paying for nothing.
Look, we will.
I'm glad they asked for a check.
There is no doubt that's accepted.
Christian it Brothers. Is that now we just open and just and man we'll do this right here
Brad,
over the
right now. My son is part of the Purple Wave. He's in the Purple Wave.
They got him in the developmental program.
He's part of the Purple Wave. I'm a proud parent of the Purple Wave kid. Whatever,
bro.
He drives by Nick's on Walnut Grove.
Do not Chester, think because that's y'all where that's gonna be home. Do not think that y'all getting my kid for free, man. A kid who's gonna have the personality. He's got the look. Come on, man. Y'all not getting my kid for free.
He's anointed.
If he can block the left side, they will whatever you need, brother.
But seriously though, man, y'all get y'all money ready for sure. Seriously, all jokes aside though, Gabe is the spokesperson for Socktober. Is it Socktober Fest? or something. It's October something that he does at his school. He's the
I remember that last year.
Yeah, he's the spokesperson.
They made him president or
right,
something, right?
Gave real quick story. A girl at his gay school started this thing called Socktoberfest, where they raise they get sock donations for the homeless, yep. Right, for the less fortunate.
Yep.
And the girl graduated last year, and Gabe last year got more sock donations ever in the history of the program. And the girl was like, she blessed Gabe with the golden socks and asked him to carry the mantle.
Take over the program.
Right, and she was a senior, and Gabe was in fifth grade. Well, no, Gabe was in fourth grade. So she asked a fourth grader to take over the program. So for the next 8 years, Gabe's going to be the spokesperson for this event. I mean, well, not 8 years, because the girls' side goes to 12th grade, boys go to 8. For the next few years, Gabe's going to be the spokesperson for it. So this
That's
is the
awesome,
first year
bro.
Being over. So y'all get your socks ready, man. I ain't talking about no stinking socks been on your feet either, man. I'm talking about some new socks donations. I'm going to have some links and stuff available for y'all to donate to my son's campaign.
That man gets out. He loves helping people.
Yeah. Gabe's been like that forever, man. Y'all think I'm finna, pay for this
job.
Kid to go to any of y'all's school?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I almost started cussing. I thought I was on my podcast.
Absolutely not.
But check out the Anthony Sane Show today on Bluff City Media. YouTube search Anthony Sane Show.
Is this team going to beat Florida State in a couple weeks?
I told y'all that before they lost.
I think Sane might have said that, John.
We going undefeated, bro. I told y'all.
We looked at him crazy at the time. Florida State was not 0-2.
I know some schmoes when I see them, bro.
I don't know. The number's out to 3.5, open 1.5, 4.5, 5 at some spots. I'm nervous.
Hey, we finna beat them four, bro.
Because the size, bro, that's the difference.
Hey, what did your boy do in every big game when he was here?
Norvell?
What did he do? Them UCF games.
I mean, he did beat Ole Miss.
What do you do? What are you doing in them big games where, like, we can win the conference or that type of stuff? What happened?
I mean, he definitely – UCF had his number.
Hey, when that booty hole get tight,
I don't
you know
think
what's
he,
happen,
he didn't beat UCF, right? I think Silverfield did finally, but I don't think Norvell beat UCF.
I think that's
right.
He never beat
him. Yeah.
That's right.
He gonna look across there and see
UCF
that?
UCF was his nemesis.
Yeah. He did.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.